Chapter 9. The disgusting, gnawing, gnashing sound grew louder and louder, until I felt like it was burrowing inside my ear canal like a feral earwig. Siskern wasn't kidding about the natural amplification properties of these caves. Whatever was making that noise at the end of this godforsaken tunnel grew more terrifying as my imagination feasted on images of a horde of the undead chewing on greasy black bones with their rotting, toothless mouths. Then a blast of air hit us all in the face when we rounded the sweeping bend in the tunnel. Airflow. It was getting faster, which meant we were probably getting closer to the source. If only getting closer didn't also mean getting closer to the awful sounds, and now smells.
"What is that?"
Ryan whispered with a tremor in his throat that sounded like he was trying not to cough or gag. "Shh, Rye," I intoned, and quietly used my dagger to cut a few strips off my own tunic so I could fashion a pair of makeshift cloth masks for both of us.
"But it's so bad! I'm going to..."
On cue, he lurched to the side and vomited against the circular wall of the tunnel. "Shit," I said under my breath, and I hustled over to him so I could put a steadying hand on his heaving back.
"Here, try some of this."
Shay pulled a small vial out of her handy kit and dabbed it on the second cloth mask I tied for Rylan. In the vial was an oil that smelled similar to the strong odors of menthol and eucalyptus, and when she finally tied it around his face, he stopped making that barfy gagging noise. "You're becoming rather handy with that," I said, and I cut a strip off my cloak to save what remained of my tunic and fashioned masks for everyone else with Shay's magic oil. It was a godsend for when we all finally made it into the putrid chamber. But I suddenly became nauseous for a different reason.
"Holy!"
My words strangled themselves in my throat as the torchlight illuminated the large cavern. For a second, I was able to see what seemed like hundreds of multicolored pterodactyls feasting on semi-transparent sack things that sprouted up from the cave floor like stalagmites.
"Back! Back! Back! Back!"
I flung my arms out wide, shot a look at Siskern, and between the two of us, we herded everyone back into the mouth of the tunnel.
"Lad, I say, what's this about?"
Jenner grumbled as he attempted to pat the dust out of his blue jacket.
"Shh,"
I warned, and snatched the torches so I could smother them.
"Apparently we've got company."
"Grubs?"
Zoe asked, and slowly unsheathed her blade.
"Not quite,"
Siskern answered, and pulled his stone out from under his shirt.
"Feral squallers. It seems as if our surplus of screechers and squallers have gone from nuisance to full-blown infestation. There has been an ongoing crisis for the wild grub tamers for some time. They have not been able to find and catch any grubs for a season and a half, and I think we just discovered why."
"What do you mean, Ambassador?" Horace asked, as he armed himself with his bow.
"Instead of the chamber only being full of the slumbering eggs, the nursery has been taken over as a squalor feeding ground."
The raptor man gestured over his shoulder with his whip.
"What do you suggest we do, O esteemed scaled one?"
Nemus prodded.
"The advantage is that squalors have terrible sight underground,"
Siskern went on and ignored the captain's antics.
"As long as they stay occupied with their feast, we might be able to get out of this alive."
"But it's so dark,"
Rylan whispered. "We'll make a train," I suggested, as I uncoiled the remaining rope we had from the loop on my belt. It was just long enough for all of us to line up and hold on to, and with Siskern and his stone at the front, mine at the back made it possible to see where we were going, but only barely. The squallers noshed on the egg sacs with relish, and their sharp canoe-like beaks ripped open the translucent membranes to get at the white yolks. The slick, gnashing, and tearing sounds sounded worse when they were up close and in crystal-clear surround sound, and my stomach roiled. Occasionally, Siskern's slow and twisting path would weave us around large carcasses that looked like the exoskeletons of huge pill bugs, and I figured this was going to be my first and hopefully only view of a Terran grub. The dead ones were the size of a Mack truck. If I never saw one of them alive, I could definitely live the rest of my days in happiness, especially because each baby roly-poly creature was ginormous.
We just needed to hurry up and get through this fucking cave already before something happened. Apparently, even thinking the jinx could fucking jinx us, because something just so happened that almost left us all fucked.
Meep! Gelf, hush!
Rylan hissed, but it was too late. The flying lizard that was Gelf saw something that caught her eye, and she leapt off Rylan's shoulders.
Come back here!
In a series of jump glides, the disobedient reptile skittered her way to the top of an impressive stone column formed by eons of water. On the very top was a spiky silhouette of a nest, and when I looked upward, I could see how hundreds of squalors clung to the ceiling like sleeping bats as their brethren munched below.
Gelf!
Rylan hissed again, and the menace popped up from the nest she was still rummaging around in.
Meep!
She questioned, and her clumsy lizard arms were full with two oblong eggs, vastly different from the egg sacs on the ground.
Rylan, you need to get your pet under control,
I hissed, as some of the squalors above began to stretch their wings.
I'm trying,
he whispered back frantically, and dug a piece of jerky out of his pocket.
Gelfie, come here, girl. Put those back.
Shh,
Rylan tried to hush.
I'm this close to leaving her behind, I warned.
I didn't want to do that, but I would if it meant keeping everyone safer.
Gelf, come,
my son commanded as loud as he dared, and his eyes opened wide and fearful in the dimness.
Come!
The flying lizard cocked her head, put the eggs back in the nest, and launched herself out of the precarious structure of twigs and sticks. In her enthusiasm, she actually ended up kicking the whole nest off the stone column the moment she jumped in the air.
Oh, fuck,
I muttered as I watched the nest, and thereby the eggs, fall to the cave floor in slow motion. Each one of the squalor eggs hit the ground with a soft thud that sounded like a gunshot. From there, it was like a domino effect. First one squalor, then two, then eight, etc., until the entire huddled mass on the ceiling was peering directly at our little hiking party. To make matters worse, a few squalors on the ground were sniffing at the fallen nest.
Reek!
One of the squalors squawked at the broken eggs, and that was the last straw before utter chaos erupted.
Run!
Siskern roared, and his deep voice rang through the din of flapping leathery wings. I freed both my blades and immediately started making good use of them as I hacked through wings, beaks, and talons in a frenzy just to be able to run through the swarm. The squalors were also five times the size of the screechers, and instead of stubby dew claws sticking out of their bat-like wings, there was a set of long, scythe-looking claws that looked good for tearing flesh apart.
Alex, look out!
Shay yelled, and a second later, something that had to be a sling rock whipped past my ear so close it actually nicked the lobe. If I had only been a fraction to the left, the deadly stone would have embedded itself into my skull instead of the squalor behind me that wanted to chew on my neck for a while.
How much farther?
I screamed at Siskern through the swarm. If it weren't for the bob of his stone light, I would have most definitely lost everyone in the frenzy.
I feel fresh air!
He bellowed as he took off down one of the narrow tunnels on the other side of the chamber.
Let's go!
The promise of almost being out of this stinking hole had me pushing the rear of our party harder than ever, especially since the swarming was forced to stop when we entered the tunnels properly, which just urged the slavering horde behind us to move faster.
Horace!
I shouted when about five of them broke off and started to crawl along the ceiling with their scythe-like appendages.
You shits!
The Falcon Man bellowed as he shot an arrow, but it bounced uselessly off the thick skull of the squalor he was aiming for. My bolt was powerful enough to lodge itself in the thing's head, but even that only slowed the beast, so the next shot I took, I made sure to aim for the eye. That seemed to do the trick, and the stubborn beast was finally brought down. A few twists and some careening sharp turns had us all breaking out into a smaller chamber where there was blessed glorious sunlight at last. And like a madman, Siskern clawed at the meager opening like a dog as he dug up clods of clay and rock between his legs. It wasn't long before there was a hole wide enough for his big frame to squeeze through, and he started hauling everyone out one at a time with his impressive strength. Meanwhile, Horace and I did what we could to keep fending off the squalors while the ambassador tugged everyone out one at a time.
Horace, go!
I yelled as I fired my last bolt.
Reek!
The squaller, trying to claw its way up the rocky slope, reared back on its back legs and slashed at me with its terrifying death blades.
Fuck!
I shouted when I landed on my ass against the slope and started to slide back down.
Come on, chief!
Horace roared as he resorted to lobbing large rocks and loose pieces of shale at the beast still tearing after me. He had also run out of arrows, even his homemade ones, and he was using whatever he could to deter the beast galloping after me like a pissed-off moose, or what sounded like something similar. I refused to look behind me and kept scrambling for Horace's outstretched hand.
Gah!
I screamed as a line of icy hot fire sliced into my calf muscle from knee to ankle.
Alex!
Horace yelled. And then he was sliding down the slope with a roar and jabbing the end of his bow into the squaller's good eye that didn't have one of his arrows already embedded in it.
Rick!
The squaller reared up, and because it was a little top-heavy with that massive bill, it went ass over elbow back down the hill and into two others.
Come on!
The Falcon Man hauled us both up toward the sunlight, and I helped him as much as I could by digging the heel of my good foot into the rock pile and pushing, pushing, pushing.
Grab them, Nemus!
Siskern's voice barked, followed by two loud cracks of his rock-bladed whip. Where the tunnels were too cramped for the Raptor Man, out in the open air, he was a force to be reckoned with. His broad arms finally had the space to expand, and the way he brandished the fearsome whip almost reminded me of Brazilian capoeira, with the way he leapt and spun.
Crack! Crack! Run! I will subdue them!
The ambassador said, and with Horace's help, I was able to drag myself to my feet. The minute I tried to put weight on my bad leg, however, the pain had my knee buckling hard, and I needed the added help of Rylan at my side to keep me upright.
Crack! Crack! Crack!
The sound of the whip came faster and faster, and I could hear the bellow of rage that poured out of Siskern's mouth. I slammed to a halt and tried to get a glimpse of the Raptor Man through the sickly trees, but all I could see was a multicolored blur of squallers interspersed with the flinty glint of rock blades.
We have to help him,
I panted, as silver minnows swam at the corners of my eyes.
Whoa, Alex,
Horace said, and for some reason the sun was directly behind his head, and so was the canopy. As a matter of fact, it looked very much like I was laying down on the ground. When had that happened?
Horace,
I questioned, as more silver sparks meandered in and out of my sight.
Don't move, chief,
he said, and tried to smile, but his lips were taut with worry.
I'm sorry about this, but I need to stop the bleeding.
What?
Ow!
I yelped as the burning sensation returned, along with an immense amount of pressure.
Fuck!
Yes, it really got you, he said with a nervous chuckle, and I summoned a dogged smile to try and reassure him.
Hey, it's fine, H,
I said, and went to sit up, but the world went sideways again, and I was back to staring up at the strange canopy of gunmetal banana leaves.
Yeah, no, it's not. Shaley,
he called.
Crack. Crack.
The ambassador's strikes were starting to slow in frequency, and I could tell he was starting to falter. It was only a matter of time before the squallers overwhelmed him.
Horace, you have to help Siskern, I grunted. He's...
The bleeding won't stop. Why won't it stop?
Shay said in a shaky voice, and I could feel her hot palms on my icy skin like a brand. I snapped my head up and saw the sight of my phoenix wife with an expression of concentration on her pale face. I could tell she was trying to summon the healing tears, but even though she was distressed enough, none came.
Shaylee, we have to go,
Horace urged, and I could feel the sharp cinch of a tourniquet before the numbness rushed in.
No, I can do it,
she insisted, but the racket of the squallers cut her off with how close they sounded.
Shall we move him?
A familiar voice smeared through my foggy brain, but my fading attention was fixed on the sounds of Siskern and his whip.
He'll bleed out even faster if we move him,
Nemus said, and a tight, worried tone soured his normally melodious lilt.
Kid, you and I need to find some black moss. It looks like dark tree sap, so not like the moss you're used to. Quickly, it'll stop the blood loss.
Hold on, Alex,
Horace said as he took up one of my blades. The squalors were closer now, but the tug in my gut had to do with something other than the impending doom of bleeding out on the slopes of the canted Terran forest. Siskern. I suddenly saw a flash of those ancient chrome eyes, and I knew that damned fish saved me so I could also save the ambassador in turn. My heart thudded and stuttered over the stress the blood loss was starting to have on my body, but I had to stay awake. Maybe I was just on borrowed time until I fulfilled this last request from Aventol. Maybe it was the whole reason I was brought here in the first place, and if that was true, I was going to be so fucking pissed. I just fucking wished it wouldn't have asked me to fulfill some fuck destiny thing now, especially since I had fallen so much in love with everything. Tick. The time trance thrummed within the cage of my ribs like a flock of birds, and with an otherworldly strength, I was on my feet right as a tempest of screechers and squalors as well as, holy fuck, giant grubs exploded through the dead trees. Tick. Time slowed. Siskern thundered into the middle of the clearing with deep gashes peeking through the gaps in his ruined armor. His pupils were thin lines, and his eyes rolled around wildly for an exit. The doom on his face told me all I needed to know. He was at his endgame. Tick. The overwhelming power of the time stop expanded like a soap bubble in my mind's eye, and when I focused my intent, I found I was actually able to only freeze the creatures while keeping those of us inside the bubble active. I'd never had so much control over the time stop before. But instead of being happy about it, I realized the mistake of expending this much raw power without working up to it, and I could feel the energy drain out of me like a sieve.
Alex!
Someone screamed as I dropped to my knees and started to fall. The last thing I saw before I crumpled to the ground, still clinging to the time stop, was a surge of soldiers rushing into the clearing. And then time snapped back, and all I knew was darkness. Everything felt hot and tight, like feverish skin stretched too far over an infected wound. Most of the fire felt like it was coming from my leg, but when I tried to move it, I couldn't, and that made me panic.
Shh, Alex, this'll help!
Another familiar voice pierced through the haze. But I was still so out of it, I couldn't even recognize who spoke. But then there was a cooling sensation covering the angry live wire of pain from my knee to my ankle, and the relief was so strong I tumbled back into pitch blackness. When I awoke again, I was in considerably less pain, and with a whole lot more clarity than before, thank Mercedes. But I still awoke in a panic that would have been full-blown had it not been for Zoe and Shay on both sides of the bed I was on.
You're safe, my love,
Zoe purred as she brushed her hand through my sweat-tangled hair while Shay finished checking the bandage around my leg. My heart rate immediately slowed down at the sight of my wives safe and sound, and I thumped my head back against the pillow.
Fuck! Fuck!
I couldn't help but breathe and then covered my eyes with a shaky hand.
I thought...
I cut myself off as the leftover panic mode my body had on pause finally played out through my shaking and twitching muscles. It was like the adrenaline in my body suddenly had nowhere to go, and for good fucking reason. I'd been certain that was it for me, and now I was bowled over with how fucking glad I was to be wrong.
Shh,
Zoe said again, and like the gentle rush of the morning tide, both of my wives flowed up to anchor me on either side so my arms had something to do, something to hold on to. I breathed at the same time as them automatically, and the three of us reaffirmed our bond through the basics of sight, scent, and touch. It soothed something wild and primal within me, and the engine that motivated me to protect, protect, protect became still and settled. Little by little, anything that drained from me earlier was slowly being restored drop by drop, and I felt the jagged edge of my panic recede like the tide going out to sea.
What happened?
I asked, when I felt like my voice was up for the task. Apparently not up for it enough, though, because before either one of them would answer me, my wives made sure I could sit up properly and drink some water. I took a moment to wet my parched throat and take in my surroundings, which really weren't much. The room I was in was windowless and nondescript, with only the smallish bed, some boxes, and a rickety table for company. In fact, the only possible clue to this place was the steady, rolling, rocking motion and occasional tilt that told me we were moving.
What? Where are we? I decided on, instead, as I sat back against the pillows.
We are on something called a train beast, and on our way to the Terran capital,
Zoe said, as she took a seat on the bed next to me. Then she cupped my chin and tilted my head so she could track my gaze.
The fever is gone. This is the quickest you've recovered from such an expenditure of power before. How do you feel?
I feel fine, I said automatically, and then chuckled at the dissatisfied scrunch of her cute nose. I forgot how much she hated that answer, almost as much as I did. No, but I mean it. I feel fine. Better than fine, actually. And it was true. Even though my leg still felt tingly, sore, and much too cold under its wrappings to suggest it was healing solely on its own, my head was clear and pain-free.
Even your wound seems to be healing nicely,
Shay said, and came to sit on the other side of my bed.
I'm sorry I couldn't heal you myself.
Don't worry about it, sweetheart. I squeezed her hand before I brought her knuckles up to my lips so I could kiss those healing fingers.
I have told her likewise not to fret,
Zoe said with a fond admonishment.
It would have done no good for her to expend the last of her energy after all she'd done for Amaya previously.
At the mention of the Oryx woman, I sat up straighter. Everyone's all right? I glanced between them.
Yes, dear heart.
Shay sighed and curled up so she was tucked back under my arm.
You used your powers and stopped the stampede long enough for the Royal Army to get to us. After you collapsed, they took care of the rest and scared the squalors back. Be prepared. All of the Terran soldiers saw you do what you did. So don't be surprised if their treatment of you varies between awed and fearful.
Oh, great. I mock grumbled and settled my chin on top of her head. There goes my reputation.
Onita, it seemed to work for you, despite the fact I was concerned at first,
Zoe said, and she tucked her legs up on the ledge of the bed so she could gaze at me with her chin on her tented knees.
I wonder how fast gossip will travel about you on Ter if news of the powerful duelist traveler hasn't reached the Terran masses by now.
Super, I rolled my eyes.
The soldiers are lauding you as the hero of Clan Skeros because of how you saved Siskern,
Shay piped up.
He is the only heir left due to Siskorn.
Hero indeed,
Siskern himself said as he backed into the room with a small bundle of what looked blessedly to be clean clothes.
I am glad to see you have awakened, Brightwood.
Good to see you, Ambassador, I said. But then I noticed the official-looking sash over his chest. Or should I say, Regent Siskern.
Just Siskern, my friend,
he chuckled and set the bundle of clothes at the foot of the bed. Then you should definitely forego any mention of Brightwood and call me Alex from here on out. I grinned at the raptor man, and we clasped forearms.
I really do have you to thank for saving my life, Alex, Siskern said with a humble bow. You've helped me prevent a potentially explosive power vacuum, just by delivering me safely to Ter. My people will welcome you by the masses, even if certain individuals may not.
You're my friend, I said simply. I wasn't thinking about power vacuums.
Indeed, he said with a pleased rumble. Gavlane was right about you. But enough of that. I came here to see if you were well enough to take a tour of one of Ter's modern marvels.
Is that what we're on? I questioned, as the rickety table tapped faintly on the floor of the train car when we started to climb uphill a little. Before he could answer me, a loud, long hoot reverberated around the car, and it reminded me of the sound of a didgeridoo.
I would like to welcome you and your friends properly aboard the Skeros Terrain Line Express.
The raptor man then went over to the side wall to my right and swung open the panel keeping the large window hidden. My jaw dropped.